Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another programme from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
The Cry from Carnac. A media network special report on the radio developments in the last 7 days, hosted by Jonathan Marks.
Jonathan, this is Lynn Kohner in Seattle. I picked up Radio Lithuania at 2300 on both Wednesday and Thursday at 15180. I had suspected this was probably carried on Radio Moscow transmitters, and I was glad you confirmed that.
Jonathan, this is Chuck Wakefield in Silver Spring, Maryland, USA. I've just monitored Radio Vilnius in Lithuania. It's Sunday at 2335. And they were not on. It was simply light classical music on 7400.
2308, and as we tune to what would have been Radio Vilnius relay transmitters via Moscow, 7400 is the frequency. This is what we're getting. It's classical music, and the interesting thing with the classical music passages is that some of the records abruptly cut off.
Music there from Moscow. Over the last few days, we've been inundated with telephone calls to our answer line, Hilversum 724-222. Curiously, although the Gulf has dominated most news bulletins in the last few days, all the reports we received related to that other conflict, which some news editors have now relegated to news in brief. Later in this programme, we hope to summarise the Gulf situation for you. But for the time being, let's turn the clock back to 23:27 UTC last Friday night.
And that's all we have for our today's broadcast. We hope not the last one from Radio Vilnius in the Republic of Lithuania.
Radio Vilnius being relayed by a Radio Moscow transmitter on 7400 kHz, actually thought to be located at Plovdiv in Bulgaria. Now, at that time, we knew that Soviet paratroopers had entered the Lithuanian capital, but we were still able to hear the nationalist side of the arguments from Radio Vilnius. The following evening, Saturday, Radio Vilnius appeared as usual at 22:30 to Europe, and the relays via Radio Moscow transmitters went ahead as scheduled half an hour later. They started the transmission by acknowledging audience reaction. We used 7400 kHz for the following recording at 23 hours. The interference from Radio Moscow in the background is in fact normal from a transmitter in the eastern part of the Soviet Union. Remember that the frequency is really intended for North America, where reception is excellent on the East Coast.
Here in the studio. We're still broadcasting from Vilnius, and we were happy to learn that you still hear us. We received a phone call from Mr. Peter Wilczke in Germany, and we got a fax from Mr. Hans Pratke in Berlin, who sends his best wishes to the Lithuanian people.
Later in Saturday's transmission, they broadcast an interview with Jane Ward, a British visitor who had become stranded in the Lithuanian capital.
I arrived about 10 days ago, and I was actually due to leave today on Saturday. And it seems there is no possibility for me to leave. My flight back to England is from Moscow, and I cannot get to Moscow either by plane or by train.
And what about your tickets?
I've had no explanation given to me at all.
The two half-hour Vilnius broadcasts were clearly live each time, not simply one 30-minute show that was taped and then repeated. In the course of the 23 hours broadcast, there were several updates.
As new information is coming with each minute, we have news that the attackers at the Council of Ministers have been put off. So the conflict has been neutralized. And it's very good that thousands and thousands of people keep round-the-clock vigil at the Lithuanian Parliament Building, TV Tower, International Telephone Exchange, National Television and Radio, and Council of Ministers, as well as other key installations in Vilnius.
And there we end today. We hope to be with you tomorrow again, so goodbye till then. This program has come to you from Radio Vilnius in Lithuania. Our address is Radio Vilnius, Lithuania. Telephone number 660526. Fax 661117. And area code 0122.
We tried to telephone and fax the station, but the lines from Holland to Lithuania were blocked. As it turned out, events last Saturday near the station were evolving rapidly. I switched off the radio at that point and went to bed. But luckily, Julius Hermans, who lives here in Holland, decided to stay tuned to 1557 kHz, originating from a transmitter in Lithuania's second largest city.
I tuned my radio to 1557, that's the transmitter located in Kaunas, and when I tuned in, I heard a short news bulletin in English, and they said they would continue broadcasting all night and give regular updates in English about the actual situation in Lithuania. I went out to do something else, and 15 minutes later I tuned in again on 1557, and there was really some panic in the studio. The female presenter was saying occupante, occupante in Lithuania, which means there were people trying to occupy the building. And there was really some panic. And she was giving constant announcements in Lithuania, Litovas Radias, please try to help us. And a few minutes later, I clearly heard people running through the corridor, and it was even banging on the door, which was quite frightening to her. And the female presenter got in panic even more. Just a little while later, I heard someone taking over the microphone and saying in Russian, Soviet Lithuania, and then it was all over.
Pretty dramatic. Did you check the other frequency, 666?
No. At the location where I was, I couldn't receive 666 due to a German station, and I was nearby that transmitter site.
What about reception on 1557? I mean, was it good or what?
It was quite good. I was listening in the east of Holland, and the other stations on 1557, these are British stations, are weaker there in the east of Holland. So I was quite lucky that I was there and got a reasonable clear signal of Radio Vilnius.
So, and this was going on right through the night. So what, this must have been in, what, about midnight UTC?
Yes, the occupation was at about 23:45 UTC.
And after that, what happened? It just went off the air?
No, the transmitter stayed on the air. There was just silence, and I stayed listening. And about 10 minutes later, I heard a technician trying to contact Vilnius. He was shouting, Vilnius, dos tres, Vilnius, dos tres. And nothing happened.
Where do you think that was coming from then, the transmitter side?
I think so. I haven't got any clue, but because he was shouting, Vilnius, Vilnius, I think it was someone from the site in Kaunas. I don't know what else it could have been. Then it was silent again, and a few minutes later, the same engineer said, modulation normal, modulation normal. And a broadcast started in Lithuanian. And I really could hear it was all improvised, and Lithuanian folk music was played.
And later, in the very early Sunday morning, what happened then?
At 02, I was UTC. I heard a sudden announcement in English. After a record, a female announcer came to the microphone and she said, attention, attention to all the peace-loving people in the world. Then she said, this is Radio Vilnius, Lithuania is in danger. And then she repeated that, Lithuania is in danger. She called upon the people in the West to help and to tell other people what has happened in Lithuania. She also said, there are many victims. She also repeated that. And she told that tanks had squeezed people in front of the radio building in Vilnius.
Dramatic listening. I mean, some people have drawn a comparison between this and Radio Prague of 68.
Yes, it really was quite dramatic, especially if you know that many of the presenters of Radio Vilnius I know personally. And if you hear these people half an hour before speaking to the people in the world, and just half hour later, the radio building is being occupied with lots of violence. Yes, it's quite dramatic.
When you say personally, what do you mean? You know their voices?
I've written with these people, so some of these people who wrote are pen pals of me, and last week they called me for an interview. So,
really? What did they ask you?
They called me on the last day of the year, and they had a few questions, what I thought about Radio Vilnius programs, and they asked me to do some New Year's wishes, and it was all broadcast on the air.
Radio Netherlands. Continental Talk Radio.
We move to Sunday at 09 hours UTC and Radio Moscow World Service.
Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. Last night, units of the USSR Ministry for the Interior took control of the building of Lithuania's state television and radio. There was a clash between the military and those who tried to defend the facility. Both sides resorted to firearms. By figures obtained from the National Salvation Committee of Lithuania, two people died and about 30 received injuries. Those dead include one serviceman.
Unlike the invasion of Czechoslovakia, where only one side of the story was broadcast by Moscow, this time Radio Moscow referred to the official TASS news agency when it gave the Soviet version of events. Lithuanian nationalist sources were also mentioned in later broadcasts, so something of Glasnost was still alive. At around the same time on Sunday morning, many stations in Western Europe carried the news that Soviet forces had stormed the radio and TV building in Vilnius. As a result, transmissions from Radio Vilnius had been interrupted, but later resumed, apparently under Soviet control. But here in Holland, we noted that the transmitter site in Kaunas was clearly still broadcasting the Lithuanian nationalist viewpoint. A large percentage of listeners over there are connected to a cable radio system, and it seems that this wired radio network, as well as the local transmitters in and around Vilnius, were under Soviet military control. But three medium-wave and one shortwave transmitter at Kaunas, about 100 kilometres northwest of Vilnius, continue to broadcast. An announcer with an American accent provided translations of speeches that went out in Lithuanian and Russian. Around 12:30 UTC on Sunday, she mentioned that support for their stand had been received from Latvia, but as you can hear, reception on 9710 kHz was very weak due to the low modulation level.
Again, we are now having a news, those people that are hearing us, that right now in Riga there is a meeting.
As Kaunas referred to Riga, so Riga was broadcasting an unscheduled news bulletin in English. This was relayed by a medium-wave transmitter on 1386 kHz at Kaliningrad on the Russian Baltic coast. The broadcast was also monitored in the United States on 21460 kHz shortwave at the same time. The news editors in Riga had clearly been listening to foreign broadcasts.
Time, the Radio Canada said that Gorbachev had ordered the army troops to retreat from their position. Approximately at 9:30 Greenwich Mean Time, Kaunas TV said that the Supreme Soviet of Lithuania continued to work. The parliament building is encircled by the armored troops, which don't make any military action. And that's all in brief information about events in Lithuania and Riga. And for the ending of this program, I want to repeat the information from Georgia. The official representative of government of Georgia said on the telephone that they had an information, was given by Eduard Shevardnadze, that a military coup d'etat is expected in the USSR. Lithuania is on the beginning of this action. Radio Riga, Latvia.
As Sunday afternoon wore on, so the mood became more optimistic from that part of the world. Western news broadcasts now acknowledged that the nationalists were still on the air in Lithuania, although the Kaunas transmitter of 500 kilowatts on 666 kilohertz was still being referred to as low power. Henrik Clements in Sweden had much better reception on 666 kilohertz at 15 hours.
Broadcasting from Kaunas, the second largest city of Lithuania, and this broadcast is going on non-stop practically from 2 o'clock in the morning this night. That means that we are working here for practically 15 hours non-stop, and naturally all people are very tired.
And a few moments later, a news bulletin went out.
This is the latest bulletin from Vilnius at 5:02 this afternoon in the headquarters where our government is waiting. There has been declared a condition of siege and attack. The discussions have ceased.
Later in the day, the American voice returned with a summary of a speech by the mayor of Kaunas.
The mayor hopes that we will have a very peaceful night in Kaunas. especially since tomorrow is a working day, and all of us have to get ready for that early morning ride to get on the trolley cars and buses to get to our places of employment. He also wishes to state that in the case that the TV, Kona's TV, is not functioning, this is not, in fact, a direct correlation to the non-functioning of the legitimate government of Lithuania. It may be that for some technical difficulties or some other events, the TV station may not be functioning. However, he feels that one should proceed in an orderly fashion to go to work tomorrow morning and to sort out the day.
Meanwhile, conversations were going on the amateur radio bands on 21330 kilohertz, for instance.
LY2ZOK1HTV.
Yeah, Roger.
Okay, that information you received from TV was from TV in Kaunas, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Where is it
from
television? Your local
television. That was taken on 21330 kilohertz. An alternative to watch is 14152 kilohertz, 14152 for radio amateurs from Lithuania. On Sunday evening, there were no regular broadcasts in English from Radio Vilnius, either from Kaunas or the Soviet transmitters. At 23 hours UTC, the Soviet-controlled transmitters simply replaced the Radio Vilnius North American transmission with tapes of light music. On Monday, the Special Emergency Broadcasting Service from Kauna continued, including reports from a remote broadcast unit at the Supreme Council building in Vilnius. At times, it appeared to be linked with a Lithuanian TV service, also operating out of Kaunas. All these links seem to have been outside the control of the Soviets. On Monday night, Radio Vilnius external service resumed broadcasting in English, but only on medium wave and only at 22:30 UTC.
The Hellcat, you are dear friends, hello to the listeners and supporters.
As you can hear, the signal was difficult to follow in Hilversum because of poor conditions and interference from other stations. But in Caversham, England, BBC monitors were able to transcribe what was said. So here's a reconstruction of the opening.
This is Radio Vilnius, broadcasting from the capital of the Republic of Lithuania. Hello again, dear listeners and friends. We are glad that we can be with you again tonight. We would have liked to have broadcast yesterday as well, but regrettably, there was no such possibility. And there's one point I'd like to make here. From this same transmitter, and on the same frequency, important information is being broadcast to all Lithuania. So, in case of emergency, our program may be interrupted at times. We believe you all know about the violence, terror and bloodshed in Lithuania 2 days ago, and that the TV tower and the radio and TV center were stormed. For us, at external service, it ended without casualty, and we are all ready and determined to resume the work we've been doing. And please, let us know one way or other if you can still hear us. Perhaps you could send telegrams to the Information Bureau of the Lithuanian Parliament, care of Radio Vilnius. Thank you.
Monday's broadcast then went on to give the Lithuanian version of what had happened on Saturday night.
The military operation began just before midnight UTC on 12th January as large crowds of people were keeping an all-night vigil for the third consecutive day. Nobody had expected that the attack would be so swift and fierce. Before that, the voluntary guards were in high spirits, singing and dancing to while away the time, listening to the radio or watching TV, drinking hot tea from flasks, and eating sandwiches in front of bonfires. As soon as at least five armored vehicles appeared who were traveling at full speed, people began to shout, "Lithuania!" and "Shame! Shame!" It seemed that the threat was not real, and that the tanks had appeared only to exert additional psychological pressure. But this was no joke, and as soon as the armored vehicles reappeared, a large number of paratroopers jumped out and opened fire at the radio building. The crowds of people who had formed a human shield hissed and booed. The paratroopers used their guns and explosives to break their way to the entrance. They broke the windows in the ground floor in order to get in. At that moment, Lithuanian radio was still working, while the radio announcers, who had locked themselves in the studio, informed the entire country about the Soviet act of aggression. According to eyewitnesses,
At least 100 paratroopers took part, occupying all four floors of the radio building and ordering all staff at gunpoint into one of the rooms. After thoroughly searching them, they were shoved outside the building. One journalist who had come back from an assignment in town and was not aware what had happened used a back entrance to get into the studio. He was immediately spotted by paratroopers, severely beaten, his recorder and tapes destroyed, while his watch was confiscated. Simultaneously, the crowds of people who were outside began moving in the direction of the adjacent TV building.
And so to Tuesday, January 15th. Media Network reporter Eric Beauchemin contacted Eric Reinhardt in Leeuwarden, who suddenly appeared on Dutch domestic radio in Holland, claiming to have hired a ship all ready to start Radio Free Lithuania.
Well, last night we had negotiations with a shipping company in Rotterdam, in Holland, to get a ship, well, I think next weekend or begin of the following week, in the free waters of the Lithuanian coast. And the shipping company has a ship ready for us if we want to have this ship when we get the finances fixed.
You have the ship, but what about the transmitter?
The transmitter, there are negotiations as well with some companies at this moment to have transmitters delivered maybe this week already.
What type of transmitter?
This will be an ultra-short-wave transmitter.
Ultra-short-wave, that's an FM transmitter?
That's right, yes.
If you're going to be broadcasting off the Soviet coast, that's a pretty long distance from there to Lithuania or to the capital Vilnius.
I know, it's about 320 kilometers, yes.
With an FM transmitter?
That will be possible, yes, with a direction antenna.
I'm skeptical myself, but we'll see. On Tuesday, the situation in Riga became more tense, and appeals in English were broadcast on 1350 kilohertz around 1430 UTC.
Basically, we are appealing to TV and radio personnel throughout the free world to focus as much attention on the situation in Riga as possible. The spirit and courage of the Latvian people is strong, but we need you, the free people of the world, to do everything in your power to help us.
They also appealed for people to phone them.
So you're listening to the Radio Riga. I shall repeat that Radio Riga is bringing you the extraordinary news broadcast from Latvia's capital, Riga. Our telephone number is 013-226-728, Latvian Republic. Our address is Post Box 266, Riga, Latvian Republic.
Actually, you need more than love to get a line to Riga from Western Europe. They're now on the air at the moment, 24 hours a day, using 5935 kilohertz. We noted an English news bulletin yesterday at 11 hours UTC. On Tuesday, the last item in the English news bulletin on Radio Moscow World Service proved interesting.
The Union of Soviet Journalists has issued a statement saying that the policy of glasnost is being under threat. It speaks of a series of crackdowns on the editors of newspapers, magazines, news agencies and television programs, as well as attempts to assassinate reporters. The Union voiced concern over the situation, calling for unity in the face of the emerging threat.
And that story ran for well over 24 hours. Bringing our coverage up to date, Radio Free Europe in Munich has increased its programming output in three languages, Latvian, Lithuanian and Estonian. Its original programming has gone up by approximately 50% as of last Thursday.
Media Network, minutes ahead when seconds count.
Roger, 123 triple zero, 123 triple zero, 123,000. This is Clapton, Roger.
The sound of the American military airlift command, easily audible here in Holland as the airstrikes on Baghdad took place in the early hours of this morning. Channels around 6750 kilohertz and elsewhere between the broadcast bands have been very busy, and it would appear the Iraqis have found them because jamming's been noted. For a look at the broadcasting front, I'm joined by Andy Sennett.
Well, the first point to make about broadcast from the Gulf region is that we can expect the unexpected. In other words, unscheduled news broadcasts, extended transmissions, and probably some new frequencies too.
A few Radio Baghdad frequencies have been active on medium and shortwave. The channel on 6055 kilohertz, probably from Kuwait, was running at 04 hours this morning, but heavily jammed.
Baghdad.
the broadcast from Jerusalem at 05 hours was very dramatic.
Israel broadcasting from Jerusalem. The Gulf War has begun.
And at 05:15 UTC came this summary for listeners in Israel.
As you heard, the civil defence authorities have instructed all civilians who are not engaged in essential services to remain at home. The gas mask kits should be opened, the filter inserted, the head strap adjusted, and the gas mask kept to hand. There's no need at this point to make use of the sealed rooms. Kol Yisrael's Hebrew networks and the Army network have combined. Kol Yisrael's English broadcast will be carried simultaneously on shortwave and on Reshet Aleph Network 1 on 576 and 1458 kilohertz at the usual time, with two additional broadcasts at 9 a.m. and at 3:45, the usual broadcast times at 1 and 8 p.m.
Well, Andy, what about following the shortwave news broadcast from Jerusalem?
Well, broadcast to North America and Europe at 22:30, midnight, 01, 02 and 05 hours UTC are all on 7465, 9435 and 11605 kHz.
And 7465 kHz does particularly well in Europe at 22:30. There are scheduled broadcasts to Europe at 11 hours on 11585, 17575 and 21790 kHz, and at 18:15 on 11585 and 11655 kilohertz. Now to Baghdad. We're not sure what the priorities will be as the day wears on. The English broadcasts for the US troops are scheduled at least between 11 to 14, 17 to 19 and 21 to 23 hours UTC on 11860 kilohertz, 11860. You might also try 15505 or 21675 kilohertz.
To Europe, Radio Baghdad has a transmission at 21 to 23 hours UTC on 13660 kilohertz, but this frequency doesn't usually propagate into Europe at the moment, and they may in fact switch to a 7 or 9 megahertz frequency at any time. To North America, at 0230 to 0430 UTC, Radio Baghdad is in English on 11830 kilohertz, and at the same time, it broadcast to Asia on 11810 kilohertz.
But as we say, that didn't happen earlier today during those raids. English from Amman, Jordan, is between 12 to 14:15 UTC on 13655 and 14:20 to 17:30 UTC on 9560 kilohertz.
Incidentally, Jonathan, the Arabic service is now being heard between 16 and 23:30 UTC on 9830 kHz instead of 9835, which is listed in the WRTH 91 edition.
As far as English from Damascus is concerned, look between 20:05 and 21:05 UTC and also 21:10 to 22:10. We understand that 15095 may have been dropped in favour of new 9950 kHz, 9950. The parallel frequency is 12085 kHz.
In Egypt, Radio Cairo has five English transmissions every day. Between 02 and 0330 UTC to North America, they're on 9475 and 9675 kHz. At 1215 to 1330 to South Asia, on 17595 kHz. From 16:30 to 18:30 to Central and South Africa on 15255, 20:30 to 2200 to West Africa on 15375, and finally 22:15 to 22:45 to Europe on 9900 kilohertz.
Finally, as far as Saudi Arabia is concerned, in theory they're on the air between 16 to 21 hours to Europe on 9705 and 9720 kilohertz. But checking last night, I'm afraid it's totally inaudible. Finally, David Butler in Ireland has just phoned in from outside the Irish Supreme Court to report that by the end of this week, we'll know if Atlantic 252 has to suddenly close down. That's a pop music station that broadcasts on longwave towards the UK. But local residents at the transmitter site, about an hour's drive from Dublin, object to the 1,000-foot mast and the high power being used. Three judges now have to decide whether or not to revoke the original planning permission. And that's all for this edition of Media Network. We hope to be with you next week. Join us then.
Media Network is a Radio Netherlands presentation. Background research this week supplied by Julius Hermans, Eric Boschema, Lou Josephs, Richard Meesham, Kim Andrew Elliott, Hendrik Clements, Agostino Pendola, Els van der Tempel, Erhard Godijn, and Rolf Lovstrom. Copyright 1991.
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.